This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
St. Joseph's has been blessed to have an ongoing relationship with Bishop Todd and Patsy McGregor and their incredible ministry in Madagascar. And we are blessed today to deliver and break open the word for us. Reverend Patsy McGregor is back with us. Thank you, Patsy, for being here.
In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
It's always a pleasure to come back here to St. Joe's and see familiar faces in the congregation, because we know you're supporting us, and even though a few years might go by in between, it's always like coming home. And I bring you greetings from Bishop Todd, who's down the street this morning at St. Paul's. And I bring you greetings from our children who are in college at in Pennsylvania. And I bring you greetings from the Malagasy people. We look at the gospel lesson this morning in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verses 5 through 19. And we read about the persecution that will come. We read about the difficulties. We read about the wars and insurrections. We read that nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and that there will be great earthquakes and famines and plagues. And this makes us a little nervous. It's a hard gospel to preach on. But we have hope, because we read in this gospel that even in this, and even when we are persecuted, that we will be given an opportunity to testify. So how far are you willing to go for the gospel? How far are you willing to go for the gospel? Some of you know my own personal story because you've been following it since when our children were very young. It was never a dream of mine to become a missionary. It wasn't in my lifelong strategic plan. It wasn't on my bucket list. But in retrospect, I believe being a missionary was God's plan for me from before I was born. As it promises us in Psalm 139, He knows when we sit. He knows when we rise. He knows the words that are on our tongue before we even say it. And as Ephesians 4:1 urges us to live into our calling, because all of us have been called by God. And we're encouraged by the Apostle Paul to lead a life worthy of our calling, because we have been called by God. And perhaps being a missionary was not on my list of things to do, because I had a misconception of what a missionary does. And I didn't want to be one of them. I was a cradle Episcopalian, and I didn't even realize that missions was for the Episcopal Church. And so when our children were the ages 11 months old and 2 years, we went to Madagascar in 1991, almost 20 years ago, to the capital of Antananarivo, Madagascar. And then after 11 years, we went to Kenya, because our girls were going to boarding school at Rift Valley Academy, and we didn't want to be an ocean apart. So we followed them to Kenya. And then I was ordained into the Anglican Church of Kenya in 2006, and then my husband was consecrated Bishop, Assistant Bishop of Antananarivo, Madagascar. And when we were in Kenya, we flew in small chartered planes to northern Kenya and worked with women like Jennifer, who has made her necklace around her neck. Women all around the world want to be beautiful. She lives in a stick and cattle dung hut. And we worked with the Samburu women and other tribes up in northern Kenya, many times traveling with armed guards because of the insecurity in the region. And I joined my husband on occasion, but I also had my own role as manager of St. Julian's Retreat Center in Limuru, Kenya. I was learning to live out my calling. And St. Julian's was a beautiful, quiet, and peaceful environment. I was ordained a priest through the Anglican Church of Kenya, and I was finally learning to live into my calling. And then one day, my husband informed me that the Malagasy people had contacted him and asked him to consider going back to Madagascar to serve them as a bishop in a brand new area of Toliara. Toliara? I had been there before. I asked him, well, I stated, you're not going to do that, are you? How far are you willing to go for the gospel? How far are you willing to go for the gospel? It's a question that's portrayed to us this morning. For me, perhaps it means distance. But for you, perhaps, maybe it's openness or boldness. Perhaps it means speaking to your neighbor or your coworker or your friend in school about Christ. Perhaps it's putting a little bit more in the stewardship envelope than you may be comfortable in doing. How far are you willing to go for the gospel? Well, we went back to Madagascar, and the words of John Wesley ring true. Don't only go to those who want you. Go to those who need you the most. But I still wondered what I was going to do because I wasn't brought up in a slum. I didn't know what I would do when we intentionally live in a slum because my husband said we were going to go and live among the people in a slum in the ninth poorest country in the world where 85% of the people live off of less than $2 a day. This is a view from our front door. Our house is the size of a one-car garage. My husband had someone install water and electricity before I moved in, and for 3 years we've been taking bucket baths. But this is lifestyle evangelism. How far are you willing to go for the gospel? For us, it means living among the people, indigenously living with the people, like Jesus would have done, as he reminds us in our gospel lesson this morning. How far are you willing to go for the gospel? By intentionally living with the people, we've been able to see God at work in the slum. By just being with people. And the focus is not on what we do, but it's on building relationships and being with the people. As we are living with them, we make church banners. This was part of the diocesan mission from the Diocese of Southeast Florida. And as we are living among the people, we also pray in color. Doodling for Christ is what I call it. Taking markers and praying as we draw and scribble to the glory of God. And discipling young men and women. Continuing education. Because many of the people are only of a fourth grade education. And we sponsor 25 children. 25 students, some of them primary or secondary or even college students. And intentionally making models of the Lord Jesus Christ. Building disciples. Making models of Christ. How far are you willing to go for the gospel? It's a question I had to ask myself when we live in the slum of Tuliar. And I noticed this young girl, 16 at the time, as I was asking the Lord, "What do you want me to do?" And I was hearing the response, "Just be. Just observe. Just watch." And so I would get up in the morning and we'd have our prayers and we'd go to the church and pray with a group of people. And then I would watch. I would observe the Malagasy culture. And it's a joy to have seen this woman, 16 at the time, Josiane, a girl that I disciple. She's been healed of syphilis through prayer. She got syphilis through her mother when she was born. I noticed that she was not going to school, and I asked her why. And she said, "Marariru." She's a headache. And so I would observe her the next day. She's still not going to school. I asked her again, "Why aren't you going to school?" "Marariru." And every day she had a headache, so we physically went together, hand in hand. I took her to the doctor. She couldn't afford $5. To go to the doctors. And we found out that she had syphilis. And so it's a year of medicines. And they, in Madagascar, in Tuliar, where we were living, they only had 2 weeks worth of medicines. So she took those 2 weeks worth of medicine, kept going back to the pharmacy, looking for the medicines. Could never find them. This whole time we're praying, discipling, she's growing in her faith. Then finally, 11 months later, still no medicines. We say, "We have to go back. Let's go back. Let's go back to the doctor. We have to do something about this." She took another blood test, and there were no signs of syphilis. How far are you willing to go for the gospel? It's been exciting to see three others who have passed their high school exams. Quite an accomplishment for this area in Madagascar. And they're applying for grants to study theology overseas so that they can come back as the first indigenous clergy and theologians in southern Madagascar. How far are you willing to go for the gospel? For me, it means living next to this man, Ramani, who's the shaman, which means the local priest of the African traditional religion. He's standing there next to his wife, and I disciple his daughter, Nulavi, who has grown so far in her faith that now she's been sent to Kenya to study theology so that she can come back and be the first woman from the province of the Indian Ocean with her bachelor's in divinity. This family lives in this small tin hut, which holds 17 people. And one by one, it's been such a joy to see their family coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the shaman and his wife have come to church. How far are you willing to go for the gospel? When the scriptures predict persecution, imprisonment, betrayal, hatred, we automatically go to our comfort zone. And perhaps it doesn't necessarily mean distance, but how far are you willing to go for the gospel? Perhaps it means being bold with our words and speaking about Jesus Christ to some of your best friends who do not yet know the beauty of the gospel. Are you bold in sharing Christ with your neighbor? Do you sacrifice yourself for the needs of others? Perhaps it might be meaning talking to your long-lost brother or sister. Or perhaps it means cooking for 300 at a diocesan fundraising dinner. How far are you willing to go for the gospel? God promises for us to be witnesses through these things. It's a promise that when we go through trials and when we go through persecution, that this will be an opportunity to testify. We will be witnesses through these things. So what does God promise to us? He says, make up our minds not to worry beforehand. And I think we'll see a little later a beautiful plaque that says, don't worry, be happy. Make up our minds not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. But God will give us words and wisdom that none of our adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. For me, that means none of my adversaries. That means the witch doctor next door. That means the people that sell the witchcraft medicines right out my front door. That means the shaman next door. He's promised to protect us. He said, Bishop, I will protect you. I will get the youth of the neighborhood and we will surround your house. This is when there was a political coup last year. He's given us spiritual authority for his daughter, Nulavi, and he said, Bishop, I trust you. She is now your spiritual daughter. It's an opportunity to testify for us to be witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. So how far are you willing to go for the gospel? What does God promise to us? He promises strength. Because he says, by standing firm, we will gain life. We are blessed to be a blessing. That's the Abrahamic covenant, that he blesses us so that we will be a blessing to others. So as you think about it, how far are you willing to go for the gospel? May it be an opportunity to testify, and by standing firm, you will gain life. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.